Good morning. Don't you appreciate the Lord? Certainly mindful of God's goodness and His loving kindness to us. Certainly appreciate Brother Adam and Brother Bob, the way that they've been doing a great job with these services. Let's give them a hand. Appreciate you all so much. Great to be here in the house of the Lord with all of you today. I do want to say I'm humbled by the invitation to come. We certainly love all of you here at Richlands, and I am grateful for the confidence that has been shown me by asking me to come. And I have certainly been blessed by the preaching. My, we heard some great holiness preaching last night. I believe we ought to give a hand clap to the preacher that preached the truth. Appreciate the burden, the spirit of love, as well as the manifest presence of God dealing with hearts and decisions that were made in the altar. Thank God for that. Have enjoyed all the preaching. The services have just been wonderful. The 8 o'clock service today was wonderful. If you missed that, you missed a treat. And be sure to get those CDs. God bless you for your charity. Thank you for your giving. And let's just look to the Word of the Lord and see what God will do for us. Get your King James Bibles and look there to Luke chapter 1. And then now quickly to John chapter 1. Let's lift our hands again and just ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word and ask God to anoint today. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for Your loving kindness. And ask You, dear God, that You'll send a mighty anointing in this room today. Thank You for what You're going to do. Read with me there in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 1. If you have it, say amen. Verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense, that when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Quickly now to John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Our scripture text will be Luke 1 and verse 9 again, please, concerning Zacharias. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn. His lot was to burn incense. His lot was to burn. The Lord would stand by me today. I preach a message entitled, "It's Your Turn to Burn." I am so thankful for what God is doing at this church. I am thankful for what God is doing in this camp meeting. And this week we have reminisced and we have rehearsed and our hearts have been touched as we've strolled down memory lane, and we have with fondness we've brought to mind so many things that God has done. And as you look at this banner, it tells us that this godly heritage that has been given to Richlands is a link to the past and a bridge to the future. And so while pondering this meeting and God dealing with my heart as I began to try to prepare what God would deal with me to say, I felt like the Lord wanted me to say to this church that is here now, to you people that are here now, that God has brought you to this place. It's your turn to burn. I thank God for the revival that you've known in days past. I thank God for what you have experienced in yesteryear. I thank God for how the Lord has been real, has He not? I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost that has been manifest and the glory of God that has truly been realized in hearts. But here we are now. And so you can quickly realize that my train of thought is not far from where I began on the first day, because I want to remind you and I want you to be reassured that the God of the past is the God of the present, and the God that moved in yesteryear is the God that is still for us, and the God that is with us, and the God that will work among us. And I believe that God has a revival for this last day church. I believe that God has an anointing for this last day hour. I believe that God wants to pour out His power upon us. I believe that we can realize a great move of the Holy Ghost. I believe that we can have an anointing that will triumph. I believe we can have a power that will make us victorious. And I want to say to Richlands here that God has got great things for you that will apply yourself, that will persevere, that will continue and seek the face of God. It's your turn to burn. You don't have to just talk about who used to burn, who used to be anointed, who used to be used of God, who God mightily put His hand on, who God sent great anointing upon. But now it's your turn. Now it's your turn for a move. Now it's your turn for revival. If you'd like to see that, give the Lord a praise in the house. It's your turn. In our story, it immediately opens with, in verse number 5 of Luke 1, a man that was a minister of integrity, Zacharias. But it also speaks of a monster of iniquity, Herod. Two complete contrasts. Two men that were opposed to each other in every form and facet of life. Herod on the throne, Zacharias in the temple. And look at these two men here. It seems like there's such an injustice, such an unfairness. Wrong seems to reign, and it seems as if truth is on the scaffold. Look here at this man, Zacharias, as he was in the temple and Herod on the throne. Note first the waiting that was discouraging. Remember that. Here is God's priest. Here is God's man in the temple. And his wife is Elizabeth. And they have no child, for she was barren. That seems to be so unfair. That appears to be so unjust. Herod on the throne, Zacharias in the temple, and he has no child. He has no child. There's nothing tangible. It appears that his piety is not productive. It would seem that his faith is not fruitful. The one thing that they would desire, the one thing that they would hope to hold, the one thing that they long to have, they have no child.
I want to preach to the ministry here today. And I want to ask you, are there prayers that seem to be unanswered? Does it seem like your castle of dreams has collapsed? Does it seem like your hopes have all folded and your dreams have been destroyed, and the things that you want to see, you cannot find them to be realized? There's no fruition. There's no fulfillment. There's not anything you can lay your hand on tangible to see that God is doing at your church and in your work. And Herod is on the throne and you're in the temple, but you have no child. Oh, the waiting that was discouraging. How many long years, how much toil, how much labor, and no child. Waiting. I'm not good with that. How about you? Some time ago, I had a problem with a tooth. And so I made a call. And they said, well, you just come and we'll work you in. I went early and stood on the sidewalk and waited while the dentist assistant finally showed up late, unlocked the door, and I'm really impatient by now. And finally they unlocked the door and they let me in, whereupon she gave me 3 pages of questions to answer. You know, questions like, what did you eat for breakfast in the third grade? All of those things. And after I went through that long questionnaire, she received that paperwork from me and had the audacity to say, go over there and sit down and wait, and we'll call you when we have time. Oh my! Night and day I've been up worrying with this tooth, and you tell me to wait. But then I look around. There are others that are waiting also. And finally it comes into my head. This is a waiting room. What do you do in a waiting room? You wait. Now down the hall, there is a treatment room. Amen. I cannot get to the treatment room until I have sat in the waiting room. I cannot get the help that I need until I wait. Oftentimes the wait is what gets me. Oftentimes the wait is what wears me out. But if I'll wait, I'll get my turn. And I want to say to somebody in the room today, you've been waiting. Keep on waiting. It's about to be your turn. Just keep on waiting. Your wait is about over. And God's going to move for you. And glory will be yours. And victory will be realized. If you'll wait, after a while it'll be your turn. Praise the Lord in the house. Oh, there was waiting that was discouraging. And what made it so difficult? Scripture declares that they were righteous and blameless. That's a pretty good bill to fill. Living up to the light in all that they knew. Their righteousness, it shone forth in a faultless brilliance. Their holy life was manifest to all, but still they had no child. Righteous and blameless, yet reproached by barrenness. Lives that you could not put a finger upon. Lives that you could not lay any blame against, but no child. But then so was Abraham and Sarah, and likewise Isaac and Rebekah, and then of course Hannah of old. Years of faithfulness, years of commitment, years of consecration, years of devotion, years of being dependable, yet no child. Am I preaching to a discouraged pastor? Am I preaching to a weary workman? Am I addressing someone here today that somehow this waiting has been discouraging to you? And you think, Lord, I put all of this into the kingdom of God. I've invested all of this. Herod's on the throne. He seems to be flourishing. And here I am in the house of God, and I have no child. But stay with me, please. For a while, their waiting was discouraging. There was a work to which he was devoted. Remember that. In your waiting, don't forget your work. The Bible said he executed the priest's office. He fulfilled his duty. He was faithful to his calling. He was committed to do what God has called him to do. And I want to say to somebody here today, and I want to say to Richlands Church, in the midst of your waiting, don't forget your work. Don't forget what God has called you to do. A discouraged young Christian went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I'm doing all I know to do. I'm keeping my morning prayers. I'm keeping my morning Bible reading. But it seems like it's so hard. It seems as if it's so dry. The pastor looked at that discouraged young Christian upon hearing that, and he did this. Down, across, up, and across. He did it a number of times until he had that young Christian's full attention. And he said, young man, you keep up the frame. God will put the picture in after a while. A few days later, that young Christian come to him with joy and radiance and said, God put the picture in. I want to tell somebody here today, it may seem like the work is monotonous. The toil is about to overwhelm you, and you question and wonder. You're in a quandary of confusion. You're in a quagmire of doubt, and you feel yourself sinking and going down. Lord, if I'm doing your will, if I'm living all I know to do, then why no child? You keep up the frame. God will put the picture in after a while. You do what God tells you to do, and glory will come again. Waiting that was discouraging. Work to which he was devoted. The Bible uses the word executed. He fulfilled his calling. He done his job. He was committed to his task. It was tiresome. There was long, lean years of waiting. But he was faithful to remain. I want to say hats off. I want to say hats off to great men like Brother Bob Osborne. And I wish Brother Philip was here today. I think they deserve double honor. Faithful to this church. Faithful. Faithful to the education system of this church. Faithful. Faithful to do what they are called to do. Faithful to the house of God. My friend, may I say to you that in those times when you're weary, in those times when you're worn, in those times when you're overcome, in those times when you are overwhelmed, there is a momentum that will keep you. There is something that will keep you. There is something that will make you stay. And that is, I am committed to the call. I will not retreat. I will not recant. I will not go back. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord. This is where I stand. So God help me. I will not compromise. I will not go back. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. Hallelujah. executed the priest's office. So the scripture says, righteous before God, committed before God. Remember, He keeps good records. They were righteous before God. God approved of it. God honored it. God watched it. God was pleased. Oh, hallelujah. And now come, please. There was a faithfulness in him to remain. But the beauty of this text is this. There was a fire that he retained. Because the Bible said it was his lot to burn. One historian said this was the most coveted of all the priestly duties, to be able to go in and carry the fire. With drooping heart, he many times was almost brought to despair, but he never let the fire go out. And so by lot, it was his appointment. By lot, it was now his turn. He had done it perhaps many times before in all of his decades of devotion, discipline. He had perhaps done this before, but now it's his turn again. I want to say to the Richlands Church, it's your turn. Hallelujah. It's your turn. It's your turn to burn. It's your turn to have revival again. Do you believe God can do it? Do you believe God wants to send it? Do you believe God would like to open the windows of heaven and pour out fire from above and send us a hell shaking Holy Ghost revival? Do you believe God would like to send the power again? I said, God, send it. Send it again, Lord. Quickly now. The Bible says it was his lot to burn. It was his lot to burn incense. There's something sweet about that. Oh, I need to preach to you for a while. Here's a man who for decades has been devoted to the temple. And he and his wife have no child. But he comes into the house of God to burn incense. By now, he's well stricken in years. He's aged. He's an elder. He's older. But he has not forgot how to burn. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing about this is, when he come into the house of God, he brought something sweet. Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of people that burn, but it's not something sweet coming from them. There's anger. There's indignation. There's animosity. Watch it. I'm going to sneak up on you here and be preaching for you. Know it. They burn with hatred. They burn with bitterness. They burn with unforgiveness. They burn with envy. Anybody going to help me while I preach a while? They're burning. But it's not helping us have a move of God. Amen. So-and-so said something about so-and-so. And we come to church and we burn. But we're not having a hell-shaking revival. We come to church and we burn. But we're not having a move of God. We're burning with unforgiveness. We're burning with envy. We're burning with harsh feelings. Anybody want to help me while I preach a while? Hey, it's time we burn. But it's time we bring something sweet. It's time we bring some worship in the house of God. It's time we bring some worship in the house of God. Bring something sweet and let's come burn and let's come worship. Let's come burn and worship. After the war, a vacationer said he was in Vienna, Austria, many years ago. He said the city was mostly decimated with bombs. And there were very few buildings standing. And those left standing were severely damaged. And this American tourister said he was there observing what was left of the war. And he happened upon an elderly man pushing a cart. Inside of this cart, he noted a bundled form. Curiously, he followed the aged man as he went down the street with his cart pushing that bundled form. He said, by and by, we came to what was left of a cathedral. He said, the man stopped with his cart in front of that damaged sanctuary, reached over into the cart, and pulled up that bundled form. He said, I realized it was a child, a young girl. He said, they too went up the steps, and they went into the sanctuary, and went into that vacant house of God and knelt at the altar. He said, I felt I was invading on their privacy, but I was so curious. And he said, the aged man stayed for a long time with that bundled form of that little girl wrapped in that blanket. After a while, he rose up, gathered that bundled form back in his arms, and passed me as I stood at the door. There at the door was a box in which offerings were placed, and the man dropped a few coins. He said, then I realized that the limbs and arms of that little girl were mangled and deformed and twisted grotesquely. And he said, I looked at the elderly man for a moment, and then as if in explanation, he said, it was the bombs. He said, it was the bombs. The bombs killed her mother and her father and left her like this, but with determination. That aged man said, but every day we come here to let God know we're not angry. I wonder, is there somebody in the room today? You're angry. You're burning. But it's not with worship. You've lost your sweet spirit. And you've lost that sense of worship. You're harsh. You're cold. You're calculating. You're cynical. You're mean-spirited. You do not show the Spirit of Christ. I wish somebody help me preach a while in the house today. I'm saying what we need one more time, Richlands, is to burn with worship. Let something sweet come forth out of our lives. Let the Spirit of God flow through our hearts one more time. Let's burn and let's worship God. Give the Lord praise in the house. Burn, burn, burn with worship, burn with praise. When you become mean-spirited, when you begin to burn with hatred, when you begin to burn with that harsh attitude, it affects everyone that is around you. It's heard in every word you say. It's seen in every action that you do. You burn, but not with a sweet spirit. When's the last time you had something good to say? When's the last time you complimented? When's the last time you showed appreciation? Now, whether you know it or not, I'm preaching just as good right now as when I'm preaching on the clothesline. When's the last time you showed a little bit of charity? When's the last time you showed a little compassion? Do you always have to gripe? Do you always have to bellyache? Does it always have to be a fuss and a complaint? Can't we come to church and be glad to be in the house of God? Can't we come to church and be glad, amen, to worship God? Look at this man, well stricken in years. He was old, but he wasn't cold. Amen, he got old, but he didn't lose the fire. You're not too old to run. You're just too cold to run. You're not too old to shout. You're just too cold to shout. You're not too old to get in and worship. You've just got cold. I want to say it's time to let the fire burn one more time in the house of God.
I don't want to get mean-spirited. I don't want to get harsh simply because I feel like I got the short stick or it didn't go my way or things didn't happen the way I felt like it should. And somehow or another, I've been left outside. Some years ago, a friend of mine lost his father. And after losing his father, he realized he had a obligation at home to take care of. And so for a while he was just so busy with a lot of things until he could again find himself in full-time ministry. And while he was occupied with so many affairs, so much business and work and things, he said, I said to the Lord one day, Lord, it feels like I've been stuck on the back burner. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you can cook just as good on the back burner if you'll keep the heat up. I don't want to lose the fire. Could we give the Lord praise in the house? Could we give the Lord praise in this room? There was a waiting that was discouraging. There was a work to which he was devoted. But come now, there was the Word of God that was definite. His lot was to burn, and as he came in at this appointed time, an angel was standing on the right side of the altar. If you'll wait and do your work, God will always send His Word. Hallelujah. And he comes into the temple that day, and the angel is standing there on the right side of the altar. He had an appointment with an angel. Here he is fulfilling all of these priestly duties, and he brings the fire in. And when he brings the fire in, he gets a word from God. Could I offer just a little admonition to all of us preachers? If you'll keep the fire burning, God will send His Word to you. There'll be midweek services, and there'll be times when it seems like that there's nothing there. But if you'll keep up your daily devotions, if you'll be committed to the Word of God. I've been preaching this year, makes 30 years. I was pastoring at 19 years old. That was back in 1985. But there's something I have learned. It's my daily devotion that has carried me in the ministry. It's daily prayer and Bible reading of where I find truths. That's where the treasure's mine. That's where I tap into the oil. That's where the fire burns. If you'll be faithful at the altar, you'll get the Word. Do you understand it? If you'll stay by the altar, you'll get the Word.
Here's what the angel says unto John. Fear not, thy prayer is heard. All those long years, all that toil, all that labor, and now the angel says, thy prayer is heard. If you'll get by that altar, you'll get that answer you're looking for. If you'll get by that altar, you'll hear what God has got to say. There was his answer at the altar. How many times, Brother Bob, And we prayed and prayed and prayed. It didn't come on the first day. It didn't come on the second day. It didn't come on the third day. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. But we stayed at the altar. Some years ago I met Ross Maxey. Ross Maxey is superintendent of a holiness concern that came down from Uncle Bud Robinson. They're wonderful people. And, they still carry on their traditions of holiness. Very conservative, and they're a great group of people. One time I heard Ross Maxey tell that in their church where he pastored, that there was a particular woman that always ended her testimony with these words, "And I thank the Lord for saving my lost husband." Brother Ross Maxey said she ended her testimony like that always. He said for 25 years that was the conclusion of her testimony. "And I thank the Lord for saving my lost husband." He said on a particular midweek service, as always, she testified, and she testified good. And as always, she said, "And I thank the Lord for saving my lost husband." He said she sat down, and she had no sooner sat down till she jumped right back up and said, "Pastor Maxey, may I say something more?" And he said, "Well, sure, sister." Whereupon she said, "Everybody knows me, and everybody knows my husband's lost. And for 25 years I've prayed that God will save him. And you have all heard my testimony and my closing words for years. And sometimes I feel like the devil is saying to me, 'These people think you're crazy.'" She said, "But I just want to let the devil know, I ain't done praying yet. I ain't done praying yet." Ross Maxey said 7 days later, that sermon walked in the door, come straight to the altar, and gave his heart and life to God. I may be preaching to somebody. You're just one week away from a miracle. You're just 1 week away from a move of God. You're just a day or two away from revival. Let the devil know, I ain't done praying yet. I'm going to pray on. I'm going to stay by the altar. I'm going to seek the face of God. Come on, church. I'm going to worship. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise God. I said shout. 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 Somebody clap your hands. Oh, yeah, people. And shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let the devil know, I ain't done praying yet. Worship him. Come get me a song. Let's give God praise in this room. Praise him. Keep it up. Praise him. Come right on, singers. Let's worship God for a while. Let it burn. Let it burn. It's your turn to burn. It's your turn to burn. It's your turn to worship. It's your turn to praise. It's your turn. Oh, I feel like the Lord's helping us here. I feel like the Lord's making somebody sweet all over again. Oh, could we give him some more praise? This service ain't mine. It belongs to the Holy Ghost from here on out.
Hallelujah.
This service ain't mine. It belongs to the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, but I'd like to burn, wouldn't you? Now you're here in this room today, and I know it's been long, and I know it's been hard, and I know it's been difficult. But there is in your heart a determination that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it may be, I'm not going to lose that fire. I want to be willing to burn, and I want to be sweet. Oh, hallelujah. Could we honor the Holy Ghost right here and ask the Lord to give us His perfect will? Holy Ghost, would You have Your way right now in this room? Help us to be sensitive, Lord. Pray with me, church. Let there be discerning of spirits, a word of knowledge. Oh, speak to us right here, Lord. Come on, church. Worship the Lord with me. Have Your way, O Spirit of God. Now, this is not the easy part, but it's the necessary part. While they sing, you're here today and you're dealing with discouragement. You're up against a difficulty. Depression is overwhelming you. But you want to step out and come stand around these altars and worship and say, no matter what, I'm not going to let the fire go out. I want you to meet me right here. Come on, let's have a Holy Ghost altar service. Let's have a mighty move of God here. Come on, Richlands. Come on, church. What do you say? Burn. Send the fire, God.
If you got troubles.
Oh, come on, let's have an altar service.
Gone wrong.
Come on, let's worship God.
Don't you give up the battle.
Oh, yes.
It won't last very long.
Woo! Somebody ought to praise Him.
Jesus.
Somebody ought to worship Him.
Let Him know you
care. Somebody ought to glorify Him. It's Your turn to burn. It's Your turn to burn.
And He'll be there. Yes, He'll be there. When all hope is gone.
All hope is gone.
Although sometimes
Lord,
He waits so long. Knows what's best for you. Just remember He cares.
Hold on to the answer.
Hold on. And He'll be there. Yes, He'll be there.
Yes, He'll be there.
When all hope is gone.
When all hope is gone.
All those sometimes.
Lord,
that He waits so long. For you,
just
remember He cares.
Just remember He cares.
Pray on till He answers.
Pray on,
and He'll be there. Sometimes it's so hard. There's so much pain, but there's always a reason. Not all in vain. Maybe you'll help someone with a load to bear. Just pray on till He answers. Pray on, and He'll be there.
Oh,
He'll be there.
Yes, He'll be there.
Sometimes,
oh Lord,
He waits so long. Yes, He does. But He knows what's best for you.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember He cares.
Remember He cares.
Pray on till He answers.
Pray on.
And He'll be there. Oh, yes, He'll be there.
Yes, He'll be there.
Sometimes it seems like God waits so long, but He knows what's best for you. Just remember He cares.
Just remember He cares.
Pray on till He answers.
Pray.
Thank God He'll be there. Sometimes it's so hard.
Come on.
Much pain, but there's always a reason, and it's not all in pain.
Oh yes,
maybe you help someone.
Oh yeah,
with that cross you bear.
You
just pray on till he answers. He's coming by on. He'll be there. Glory. Yes, he'll be there.
Yes, he'll be there.
All hope is gone.
We know all hope is gone.
I worship God in the house. Worship God. Worship. Worship God.
But he knows what's best for you. But there's always a reason. It's not all in vain. Maybe you have someone with that cross you bear. Just pray on till he answers. My God will be there. He promised. He'll be there.
Yes, he'll be there.
And all hope is gone.
We know all hope is gone.
Oh, sometimes it seems that he waits so long. But he knows what's best for you.
He knows what's best.
Just remember he cares.
Remember he cares.
Pray on till he answers.
Yes, he'll be there.
All hope is gone.
And all hope seems gone.
Although sometimes it seems,
yes,
he waits so long. But he knows what's best for you.
He knows what's best.
Just remember he cares.
Just remember he cares. Pray on till he answers.
And he. If you've got troubles, everything's gone wrong, don't you give up the battle. It won't last very long. Don't ever doubt Jesus. Let him know you care.
Know that you care.
And pray on till he answers. He waits so long, but he knows what's best for you.
Oh, yeah.
Let him know. Come on.
Know you care.
Pray on till he answers.
Pray on. And he'll be there. Yes, he'll be there.
Yes, he'll be there.
When all hope is gone. Sometimes it seems God waits so long, but he knows what's best for you.
He knows what's best.
Just remember he cares.
Remember he cares.
Pray on till he answers.
Pray on.
God will be there.
Best for you.
Just remember.